And what I'd like to speak about this evening, as the skit has shown us, in a way, is the passing on of wisdom. The passing on of wisdom that we have as old, as not young people, as adults, as parents, to the next generation that we have. Unfortunately, what happens is when we hear the word wise, or that someone is a wise person, we get the picture of a guru who maybe sits up on a mountaintop and espouses some wisdom that's impossible for anyone to attain to. But that's not the way it is, according to the Bible. According to Scripture, the discipline of applying truth to one's life, wisdom is the discipline of applying truth to one's life in light of experience. See, the Bible sees the wise person as being someone who is very much involved and in touch with the world, someone who is very deliberate in their words and actions, someone who is very intense and not aloof. Jesus fits that description. He was wise, and yet at the same time, he wasn't distant or aloof. He wasn't the great guru who sits on the mountaintop. He was very much intense and involved. He knew exactly what was going on in the world, and he was very deliberate about what he said and what he did. He was intense. He was not devoid of emotion or feelings. And keeping all this in mind, I want us to open our Bibles back to Proverbs chapter 3. And as Greg read for us in Proverbs chapter 3, that these two verses speak of the passing on of wisdom to one's children or to the younger people. And what I think I may know what's going through your mind. You're thinking, oh no, this seminary student, this young guy is going to tell me how to raise my kids. No, that is not my intention here. I have no idea how to raise kids. I've never been a parent, and I don't plan to be for a little while. So if you do get that impression, feel free to talk to me after the service. Proverbs chapter 3. My son, do not forget my teaching, but keep my commands in your heart, for they will prolong your life many years and bring you prosperity. And what we must first do, as we must always do in examining the scriptures, is establish the context in which this was written. You see, in Jewish tradition, the raising of the child was not merely a parental responsibility, but it was a community responsibility. A Hebrew child was a member of its community, and so it was nurtured by that community. A community of like mind and like faith would take part in the rearing of its children, and so the child would learn what it was to be a member, that is, a responsible member of that community. I don't know, or hopefully many of you remember that story about when Mary and Joseph, it's in the Gospel of Luke, when Mary and Joseph traveled to Jerusalem for the Passover, and on the way back to Nazareth, partway home, they realized that Jesus isn't with them. This was when Jesus was about 12 years old. And today we look at that story and we think, how on earth could someone have forgotten their child behind them? How on earth could you get halfway home from another city and then realize your son's not with you? Very strange. But the answer to that is very, very reasonable. Because back then, as I was saying, the families would have traveled in large groups. There was a sense of community among the Jewish people. And Mary and Joseph would have easily assumed that Jesus was with another family at the time. It was not like family trips today. It wasn't when Mary and Joseph were coming back from Jerusalem. Like I said, it was with a large group, the community they were with. And it wouldn't be like a family today going down to Buffalo for the day to get some clothes real cheap. And then you're coming back and you hit about Burlington. And then you look in the backseat and you realize your son isn't there. I don't think it was like that. See, unfortunately, today we have a very individualistic society, where that kind of relationship in a community is next to impossible. And probably very few who live in your community hold the same beliefs and values as you would, as it was in the Jewish custom. See, today our society is pluralistic, it's a self-indulgent, and it's a me-oriented society. that we live in. Everyone's always crying out for their rights. So much so that they do not even consider how their quote-unquote rights will affect those who live around them or those who come into contact with them, whether it be in their home or their workplace or the community that they do live in. See, God understands that mankind does live in relationship, and that's why we have the church. Obviously not the physical building that I'm talking about, but a group of believers who can be an encouragement, a support, a resource, and a help to one another. And we have that opportunity as a community of believers. And just as in the Jewish tradition, people lived in community of like mind and like faith, so we too today can live in community as believers of like mind and like faith. And so this is a community of believers, and we do have the responsibility to pass on to our youth the wisdom and the values and the standards that we hold so dear. And the wisdom that is intensely practical and that is God-pleasing as well. And as I said, our youth are a part of this community. And I don't want us to look on the youth ministry here as being Bill's youth group or even someone else's kids. But there are kids. There are youth. And they are an integral part of the community of believers that we have here. And they are the ones that we can help and encourage and support and be a resource to as well. And second, before we do get to what the passage specifically says, it assumes here that these teachings and these commands are being passed on to the child. And again, within the context of the Christian community, we need to ask ourselves, are we showing our youth what we value? Are we showing our youth what is important? What is significant? Are we showing them what is of value to us? Are we showing them in word and in deed? And what are the truths that we want them to know and to live by as they go through their everyday lives? The adage is quite true that more is caught than taught. And what we do is just as important as what we say. And not only for the sake of passing on wisdom to the younger people, but also for the sake of personal integrity as well. Now, if we do examine the content of the passage, we see in verse 1 that the person writing here is instructing the son not to forget my teaching and to keep my commands. The person's not merely talking about the law that was given down to the Israelites, but is talking about the teaching and the commands that they desire to pass on to their child, that they desire to pass on to this person. And from what I understand about this passage is that it may not have even been a parent speaking to this person, but it may have been a teacher in the community who has this desire to pass on to the youth in that community the wisdom that he has learned through his experiences. And I don't know if we notice this, but in the book of Proverbs, I flipped through about the first seven chapters, and just about every one of them starts with my son, addressing my son. And you can see that Proverbs is actually addressed to a young person, in a way. Although it's for everyone to read, of course, and that everyone can benefit from reading it, is that Proverbs is very much geared or aimed at teaching the young person. And young people do need wisdom in getting through their high school years. There's a lot of decisions and a lot of choices that they have to make. They deal with issues, many issues, as what should I do with my life? What university should I attend? Why is it wrong to have sex outside of marriage? Is Christianity the only true faith? Or is it one of many faiths that may be true? What should I do when someone approaches me to sell me drugs? How should I handle peer pressure? All these questions are intensely practical, and they And they all deal with, all these questions are intensely practical. And the way that the youth is going to answer them is going to drastically affect their lives, as you can see. So you can see the need for wisdom in the young person's life. And so we also see in verse 1 that it is aimed at the young person. And what we find here is that the youth's response in verse 2, the youth's response in verse 2 is to respond to what he has learned. "Do not forget my teaching," he says, "but keep my commands in your heart." It's not merely a case of remembering what your father or your parents have told you, but recognizing the validity and the insight that they have gained through their experiences and applying it in your own life. It's as if the writer is saying, there's some things that I've learned in my life, some things I've learned in an easy way, and other things I've learned in a hard way. But I want you to know these things and to put them to practice in your lives every day so that you can be saved of a lot of pain and a lot of grief in your lives. When I was about 18, our family was looking to buy a used car, and I did most of the footwork because I had about the most time, the most free time in the family. And my mother told me of a Honda Accord that she saw at a dealership near where she worked. So one day I went to check it out. And what happened did save me a lot of pain and a lot of grief. The salesman was talking a mile a minute, and most salesmen, used car salesmen, would do that, and trying to be a distraction to me from looking under the hood. Well, I took it for a test drive, and when we got back to the dealership, I did look under the hood, and I noticed there were a few things that I wasn't too crazy about. The car had serious engine trouble, and I thought, this is not the car for us. And so anyways, this salesman says, "Let's go back to my office." So I go back to his office, and he takes out this form, and he starts filling out in the form some pertinent information about the car, the make and the model, the serial number, the price, the cost. And then he asked me about my address, my name, my phone number, etc., all those things. And then he pushes the form over to me on the other side of the desk and says, "Here, sign it." And I picked up the pen. And I was about to sign it. And then two things came to mind. Number one was, I remember my parents telling me, never sign your name to anything you don't understand. And I didn't understand. And then secondly, it hit me, this is a sales contract. And if I sign my name, I'm expected to hand over $6,000. And fortunately, I was able to remember the wisdom that my parents had passed on to me in that small way. And so me, in my infinite wisdom at the time, I said, "Wait a minute, this is a sales contract, isn't it?" "Well, yes, of course it is. If I sign this, then I've bought the car." "Well, of course." I said, "Well, I'm not going to buy a car right now. I'm just here looking for a car for my parents." And he says, "Well, you know, there's a family coming here tonight. And they're going to be buying this car. So if you're still looking, I suggest you make up your mind quickly." I did make up my mind quickly. I walked out the door. And as I said, there was one time when I was glad I didn't forget my parents' teaching. Knowing that simple rule saved myself and my family a lot of pain, a lot of grief, and a lot of money. And then in the second part of verse 1, there's a statement, "Keep my commands in your heart." It doesn't mean to have a nice gushy feeling about some theological things that our parents or that our church have taught us. But it means that the young person is to recognize the wisdom that comes from the community of believers and allow it to permeate their life and allow it to affect the situations that they find themselves in each and every day. A couple of years ago, I was leading a junior high ministry at another church. And we had a retreat with a few other junior high ministries from some churches in the area. And obviously, I was stuck in a cabin with some junior high boys for the weekend. And from the first night to the second night, it was like night and day. The first night, I was subjected to a verbal assault with the intensity and determination of a Rambo or a Schwarzenegger, you could say. The next night was the complete opposite. Right? The Lord had his hand in there. We spent the latter part of the evening talking rationally. Yes, junior high boys can talk rationally. We spent the latter part of the evening talking about, well, what else do junior high boys like to talk about? Girls and relationships. And as I listened to them, listened to about these four or five boys, what came through the loudest was their need to understand more about relationships with the opposite sex, and also to have some clear guidelines that were both practical and Christian in this whole area of dating. And so I was able to share with them some insights in this area, some insights that I had learned. Insights dealing with maintaining the standard of always dating someone who is a Christian, and also being able to make oneself vulnerable in a Christian love relationship so that you can truly experience the love that there is, or that is available in a relationship, and being able to experience a meaningful and healthy relationship. And I was able to share that with these boys, and to my surprise, they knew what I was talking about. And my sincere wish for these boys was that they would, in a way, keep my commands in their heart, that they would not forget these teachings, and allow these teachings to guide them as they begin their whole dating experience. And even though I wasn't their father, and I wasn't even their youth leader from their church, I was from another church, and all these boys were from some other church as well, I felt pleased that as a member of a believing community, as the believing community, I was able to help them in a small way and offer them some wisdom and insight into this whole area. And then it was up to them to respond to the commands that they had been taught. To reiterate what I had said before, excuse me, wisdom's not a lot of theoretical information that's rarely relevant or practical. On the contrary, according to the Bible, wisdom is the discipline of applying truth to one's life in light of experience. It is the ability to learn from your experience, or to even to learn from your mistakes. And its utmost intention is to bring about obedience to God. The obvious question that comes next is why? Why should the young person respond to wisdom? Why should he give heed to what the believing community has to say or has to pass on to them? And verse 2 tells us exactly why in this passage. It says, "For they will prolong your years, they will prolong your life many years and bring you prosperity." The rewards or the benefits of wisdom are twofold. That they would live a long life and that one would experience prosperity. Now, this can be seen literally in that making some right decisions in life could prolong one's life and could bring about prosperity. But I think that it should more so be understood in the figurative sense, in the sense that one will experience a life that is enjoyable and pleasurable and be able to avoid a lot of unnecessary pain, a lot of unnecessary grief, a lot of unnecessary guilt as a result of listening, responding to, and acting out wisdom in their everyday life. In 1 Peter chapter 3, don't need to turn to it. I'm not even going to turn to it. But Peter writes that it's better for you to suffer for doing good than for doing evil. Why is that? Because if you do what is right in the eyes of the Lord, and if you suffer for it, well, at least you've been obedient. But if you suffer for doing wrong, then it is out of a lack of understanding, or is out of foolishness, that your suffering has been brought about. And this is where the believing community plays a role in the young person's life. assisting them by passing on the wisdom that they have learned through their life experiences. The young person may also have the wisdom to make the right decisions as well. The key question I have in the bulletin is for adults, for those of us who are older and wiser people in the believing community that we have here at Markham Missionary Church. As adults, and as a member of this community, what am I doing to assist in nurturing wise young people? It can be formal or informal, just meeting a young person in the hallway, sharing your concerns, them sharing with you, and passing on some things that you've learned, some things that would help them grow into wise and mature Christians. And youth, am I responding to wisdom? That's the question we need to ask ourselves. Life response, we are a believing community, not a subculture. True wisdom is practical, with the goal of learning to be shrewd as serpents and innocent as doves in our society, so that we can penetrate the Markham area for Christ and his cause, so that we can develop and bring about mature, wise Christian young people.